Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Franklin and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
I want to talk to you today about a God who sees past your past, freedom from guilt, freedom from condemnation. I want you to see in Mark chapter 14, beginning with verse 3, and being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster box or flask of very costly oil of spikenard. That she broke the flask, then she broke the flask. Everybody say she broke it. She broke it. And she poured it on his head. And there were some who were indignant among themselves, the Pharisees, and they said, "Why this fragrant oil is wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. And Jesus said, "Let her alone." Everybody say those words. Let her alone. Let her alone. "Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work. It's a good work she's done for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do good to them. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. And wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her." Now quickly turn over to the book of Luke. I want to go to the book of Luke chapter 7 because I think it speaks to us. How many of you still believe in looking at the Bible when you come to church? Good, I'm glad. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36 of Luke chapter 7. "And one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table of the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this," watch now, "he spoke to himself. He said to himself, 'If this man is a real prophet, he would know who, what, and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner.'" One more scripture I want to highlight just for the sake of time. Verse 47, "Therefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." The story begins with, it's almost strange sounding. It's a contrast that a Pharisee would be throwing a party. But that's what's taking place. A Pharisee who is a self-righteous, mean, judgmental person is having a party. And when he decides to have the party, he invites Jesus to come to the party so that he could judge him at the party. So he could in his mind criticize him and put him down. Notice that the Pharisee's having a party and he invited Jesus to come to the party. And the thing I love about this story is Jesus comes to the party. I want you to understand that Jesus will always show up anywhere he's invited. Because he was invited, he came. Doesn't care. Jesus doesn't care what the address is. He doesn't care what they're doing in there. He doesn't care if they're smoking crack. He doesn't care if they're living in adultery. If he is invited, church people won't come, holy people won't come, but Jesus will come wherever he is invited. And I want to go one step further. And that's why our praise and worship is so important. Because praise is God's address. Praise and worship is where God lives. He inhabits the praise of his people. So our praise is our invitation. We're not up here displaying talent to impress you. We understand around here. The reason we raise our hands, when we lift our hands, it's inviting the presence of Jesus to come and do the supernatural. When we clap our hands, when we open our mouth and sing and speak praises, all we're doing is inviting Jesus to this party. So that he can heal broken lives. Right now, send an invitation to Jesus. Before I even go any further, with your praise, invite Jesus. That's how you get him in your house. That's how you get him in your valley. That's how you get him in your trial. That's how you get him in your addiction. He'll come anywhere if you'll praise him and invite him through praise. And the Bible said that Jesus shows up, and the Pharisee that invited Jesus into his home, was his motive wasn't even right. Jesus will do miracles for people whose motives are not even right. His motive was one of the only reason I'm asking him is so I can find something about him that I can criticize and put down and discredit. You know, a lot of people come to church and their motive isn't right. I really don't care why you came. Maybe you came to criticize me. Maybe you've heard all about us. Most people who criticize us the most have never stepped into this place and have never sat in one service. But you know what? I really don't care. Whatever brought you here, I'm just glad you're here. Because even if your motive isn't right, God has a right miracle for people, even when our motives aren't right. God doesn't play fair. Just when you think you're safe from God's miraculous power because you've come to criticize, God can ring your bell. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 39, it said, when the Pharisee saw it, he said to himself, "What manner, if he's a real prophet, what manner, he will know what manner of woman she is." God knows what manner of people we are. He doesn't wait till we're perfect. He loves us exactly where we are in the condition that we are. You can't explain the love of God. You can't measure the love of God. You can't limit the love of God. We can't even comprehend the love of God. He just loves us and he accepts us and he knows what manner of people we are. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9 puts it like this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, neither idolaters, neither adulterers, nor homosexuals, or sodomites. Look at that. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And you're all thinking, yeah. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. Now let me help you just a minute. Such were some of you. Were means you're no longer like that. You've repented, you've been washed, you've been justified, and you don't ever need to forget where you came from. Now, here's the issue that I'm dealing with this morning, because a lot of people can't get past the past. The devil, the Bible said in Revelation, is the accuser of the brethren. He's the one who accuses, and notice who he accuses. He accuses the brethren. The accuser of the brethren, and let's just be fair, the sistren too. Notice something about the devil. He doesn't accuse anybody. Brother and sister is a term in the Bible that is reserved for people and classifies people as people who are saved. The one that Satan accuses is never the ones who are doing all kinds of stuff. They don't feel nothing. They just out there. The people that he loves to put down is the brothers and the sisters, the people who have been saved and born again. And then he likes to come and tell you, you're disqualified because somehow you failed the Lord. You know, you can't accuse someone successfully of something they haven't done. Listen to this verse. This is something you might have thought about. Go to Romans chapter 8. Listen to this. He says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And then he starts listing stuff, principalities, powers, rulers, things present, things to come. Stop right there. Nor things present, nor things to come. He says nothing in your present can separate you from God. Nothing in your future can separate you from God. But notice he never says that something in your past cannot separate you from God, because it can if you let it. Not because God can't forgive it, but he knows, the writer knew. He said, I can't say your past can't separate, because if you get under condemnation and guilt, you don't feel like you're worthy to be in God's presence. And so in this story, here's what I want you to see. There's this woman who has a box. She is a prostitute. She had seven devils. The Bible in another place tells about her. Her profession was prostitution. And she had this costly box of oil that was perfume. That's what it, the oil back then was made of five ingredients, and it was specific, and it was a perfume. That's why they burned it on the altar, and the curling incense, when the coals would hit it and they would pour that oil, that perfume on it, it would bring forth a savor that had a smell that was sweet, and it was a perfume. Now, I want you to understand, when she came into that room, Jesus had already cast demons out of her. And she had been changed. But that box of oil, the only reason she had, the Bible said it was worth 1 year's worth of wages. So it was not only representative of the profession she was in, it was not only representative of her identity, who she was, a prostitute, but it also represented her financial status, because the only way she could have had something that costly was to have prostituted herself over and over and over, and that's what bought that costly box of oil, perfume. In other words, what was in it was perfume. What was in it was what she would put on her to attract the men that she would give herself to for money. What she took was on the dresser in the bedroom of where she would commit her sexual sins with man after man after man after man. She would put that perfume on her. It was part, vital, a vital part of who she was. The only way she could afford it was to do what she did. And Jesus one day cast seven demons out of her, and now she couldn't get over the change, but she still had something on the dresser that represented her past. And when she took that box of alabaster oil, she broke it, she devastated it, she fragmented it, meaning this represents the profession of prostitution that I was in. It represents the wealth that I had accumulated by giving my body over and over. But Lord, I'm going to break free from my past at your feet. When I kneel down and I worship you and I break this box, I am saying, because of you, Jesus, I will never go home. And when she went home, something was missing on the dresser of that bedroom. When she got home, she went home with none of the remnants of her past. She had left them at the feet of Jesus. That oil in that box was a tangible substance that represented her sin. And when she walked in and she broke that box, it was breaking herself free from anything that connected her to who she used to be. And then she turned the memory of it into worship. When it was setting in her bedroom, it brought memories and connected her to man after man after man and the acts and the sins that had been committed in that bedroom. But when she broke it at the feet of Jesus, it was turned into worship. It was turned into praise. You see, repentance is breaking the box. Repentance is getting rid of the past. Repentance is making a change. Repentance isn't praying a prayer and going right back to what you were doing. Repentance is bringing your sin and putting it at the feet of Jesus and saying, I'm not going to go home the same. I will go home a different person that has been forever changed. That's what true repentance is. Repentance breaks the box of the things that used to hold us. Repentance, when we truly repent, we crush the box that represents all those past things that the enemy wants to destroy us with. She gets in the presence and breaks the box that connects her to her past. That's the beauty of repentance. And the Bible said the religious people saw her breaking that box, breaking away from her past, getting set free and worshiping Jesus, and she was going to go home never to be the same again. And the religious people spoke up and they began to criticize her. But I love what Jesus said. Jesus said, leave her alone because she has done a good work. I want you to understand that we need, when we see people breaking free from who they used to be, the box that the enemy had them in, you're an addict and you'll always be an addict. You're this and you'll never be anything else. But when people get in the presence of Jesus, there's the power to break you out of that box. That you'll never be able to be put in that. You can't put it back together again. It will never be able to hold you captive again. And we need to celebrate freedom in people's lives. Jesus said, leave her alone. For she has done a good work. The same Greek word that is used for break. When it says she broke the alabaster box, the same Greek word that's used for break is found in one other place in the New Testament, Romans 16 and verse 20, when it says, it's just translated different in the translation, but it's the same original word. The word for break is the same as the word the God of peace shall bruise. The word bruise is the same used in Luke for break. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. In other words, the word bruise is the same word for break. In other words, every time someone breaks away from their past, they bruise the head of Satan. No wonder the devil wants to keep you bound up. Because every time somebody breaks the past and says, I'm done and I'll never be that person again because of Jesus, then you just bruise the head of the devil. And my prayer is we've been bruising him around here because people are getting free from the past. Hallelujah. God knows your past, but he doesn't stop there. He sees past your past. Religious people base your worth on past performance, but Jesus will base your worth on future potential. Religious people give you something to live down to, but Jesus will give you something to live up to. Religious people like to write people off. But Jesus likes to write people in. And that's who we preach around here. We preach Jesus. Jesus came to her defense. And he said, leave her alone. Her personal identity was in that box. Her financial security was in that box, and she broke it. How ironic. Listen to this. The perfume used in her profession as a prostitute would become the token of her profession of faith. The same perfume that she used that helped her become a prostitute and attract men, now that same perfume or oil has become the token of her profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Only God can take something that the enemy used so powerfully in your life and turn it around and get glory out of it and actually redeem the years. This is what Joel said. He'll restore the years. The canker worm and the locust have eaten up. God will turn around and use those years you went through and restore them to bring glory and honor to his son. The Old Testament tabernacle, they had the altar of sacrifice. It was a fire. And they would kill the animal and then place it and burn it. And the fire would then be taken, the coals, from off of the altar of repentance, and it would be put on the second altar, which was the altar of incense. And there they would take the perfume and they would pour it, the incense, and they would pour it on those hot coals, and the curling smoke would ascend as worship. Notice the thing that ignited the worship was what they repented over previously. The thing that ignites worship in us is not, I'm blessed with a car or a house. That's great. Be thankful for that. But really, what ought to really ignite the worship in you is, I once was lost, but I repented, and that lights my fire on the altar of incense. I once was blind, but now I see. And it makes me, I can't be quiet about it. I can't calm down about it. I've got to praise him, because to whom much is forgiven, there's much love that's demonstrated. And to little forgiven and repented of, then little thanks. Our worship must always be ignited from the things that we have previously repented of. And if you can't think of, I don't like my car, so I'm not going to pray. I don't like my house, and I don't have a good job. Are you saved? Nobody ought to have to beg you to worship God. I'm just going to ask you one more time. Have you repented? Then you ought to take the fire from that repentance and turn it into worship. Everybody who knows you're saved, give God a big shout right now. Break out of that box. Break your box. You don't have to go home with guilt and condemnation. Let me close with this. Hallelujah. And the woman at the well had been married 5 times and was living with number 6. And Jesus talked to her about living water. And the Bible said she dropped her water pots. Have you ever read that? It's there. John 4. She dropped her water pots. In other words, she was saying, I don't need these anymore. I found living water. And if you didn't drop nothing when you met Jesus, you didn't get nothing. You prayed a prayer. You got a little under condemnation and conviction. You shed a little crocodile tear. But if you didn't drop nothing, you didn't get nothing. Because if you're still hanging on to your lover, you didn't get nothing. If you still got your bottle in the, if you still got your weed in the back of the car, you didn't get nothing. Because when you really get saved, you start dropping stuff. Not out of legalism, out of love for Jesus. Anything that makes me more like Jesus, that's what I want. that. In Acts 19, when they repented, the Bible said they brought their books of sorcery and their curious arts, their statues and demon gods that they were worshiping, and they burned them. And I'm not going to have like we did in the old school. And some of you remember this. I preached a revival at Free Chapel many, many years ago when Pastor Welburn was the pastor at the old church, and the Holy Ghost got to moving, and we took a big old trash can. Brother Welburn got up and said, "We're going to have a burning next Friday night." And the kids, teenagers, brought all the rock and roll records, and the Times came out and took a picture and put it on the front page. Said, "The fanatics are at it again." But I wish to God we'd get enough Holy Ghost religion that we'd get some convictions back. And anything that connects me to who I used to be, I don't want to be connected to it. I want to be free indeed. Why don't you really let Jesus break the box so that you can be free like you've never been free before?
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life, and we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter @Jensen or Facebook @JensenFranklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast, and have a great week.